Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show live on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll talk to our buddy Chris Willis coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Right now, though, it's your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So, Pro Football Focus's grades for the weekend. The top five, and this is from our buddy Evan Birchfield. Well, again, we don't know Evan, but he does good work for covering the Falcons. Top five Falcons Pro Football Focus offensive grades from week one. Kyle Pitts was a 79.4. Drew Dahlman was a 75.2. Tyler Algier a 73.4. 71.2 for Bijan Robinson. And a 69.2 for Jake Matthews. Top five defensive players. Jesse Bates, 94.5. David Onyemata, 89.8. Grady Jarrett, 82.2. Caden Ellis, a 79.7. And A.J. Terrell, a 78.2. Some other notables, Albert Hughes was a 38.7. Lorenzo Carter was a 72.8. Jonnu Smith was a 40.2. Caleb McGarry was a 65.1. And Chris Lindstrom was only a 67.6. And Ritter, I believe, was a 52, I believe. I believe is a 52.1. So, look. Some of the numbers belie what the performances were, but I don't think that the numbers for Ritter are maybe as accurate or maybe as fair, for lack of a better way to describe it. But obviously, again, he only threw for 115 yards, but he was 15 for 18 and didn't turn the football over. That's what I care about the most. Falcons added defensive lineman Joe Gaziano to their 53-man roster. So they had cut Igwe Bikwe over the weekend, and he was on the 53-man. So they signed another defensive lineman to make sure that they've got more guys they can put in as part of the rotation. So he is now officially on the 53-man roster. Arthur Smith talking about Caden Ellis and a little bit of Troy Andersen as well. He was saying of Ellis, quote, "He's a very, very smart player. It was good. It was like a boxing match, a little bit up front, a couple of jabs thrown, and you get that 2-touchdown lead, and in obvious passing situations, we made them pay. I don't think he had very many clean looks in the pocket in that fourth quarter, so it was good by our guys." Let me read that again, Day-Day, okay? What have I been talking about? Quote, "You get that 2-touchdown lead, and in obvious passing situations, we made them pay. What have we been talking about for the last handful of months? Again, be efficient in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Score touchdowns. That gives you a lead. And when you force teams into being one-dimensional, then you can tee off on them. And that's what the Falcons did as that game got later. You know, again, if you don't score touchdowns in the red zone, let's say that game is 16-10. The complexion of that game is totally different. Totally different. Now you're on your heels and you're having to make stops and your offense can't get it cranked up. It's a totally different game than when you get up by 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And you kind of seal that game. Now you can do some aggressiveness. Now you can have an aggressive nature. Go after their quarterback. And that's what they did. The 2 times they blitzed and on stunts, it was sacks for the quarterback. And that's when they got Bryce Young rattled. So, again, we've talked about this all offseason. It's not hard. Like, it's not complex. It's not hard to figure out what the keys to success are. How you win football games. Right? Like, it's not really that difficult to pinpoint, well, why did we win? Well, you're great in the red zone, and you change up the dynamic of what their offense has to do and make them one-dimensional, and now you play into a defense's hands in the NFL. It's not hard, folks. It's pretty easy. The problem is can you do it over 17 weeks? Not just a week here and a week there, but can you do it over 17 weeks? Smith went on to say, too, quote, "A guy that size with instinct and speed that can cover, legitimately cover, tight ends and running backs, that allows you to do different things schematically in the back end. And he's a good rusher because he's physical at the point of attack. You get into some big games as a rusher, he can collapse the pocket." So, look, all good from that standpoint. And I thought Andersen and Caden Ellis did enough. Were they great? Were they outstanding? No. But I thought that they did enough in the game. But they did enough. And again, it's another test where you have a team that was able to throw the football very effectively on Sunday. And this I said, is going to be, again, it's not going to define the season. It's not going to, oh, if we lose on Sunday, oh my God, you know, the sky's falling. No. But it's a good test for this team because the Packers played really well on Sunday. They were one of the real surprises on Sunday with how well they played. I think the other surprise was how bad the Giants looked and how bad they got the crap kicked out of them, 40-0. You don't lose 40-0 in the NFL. That doesn't happen, especially when you have 2 playoff teams. You don't lose 40-0. But Packers just put a whooping on the Chicago Bears. And we'll talk to our friend of the show, Torrey McElhaney, tomorrow, you know, to kind of start previewing. But they were really good. They were one of the real surprises of the NFL. And it's going to take a monster effort from everybody. You're going to have another game like Jesse Bates. You're going to have another 3-for-3 in the red zone. You're going to have another 131 yards out of your running backs. And I thought that was the thing about, you know, again, I know a lot of people were frustrated by the performance of Drake London, or not Drake London, Desmond Ridder, who at times, you know, again, wasn't hucking it all over the field, but he was efficient. And the other thing is, he didn't turn the football over. Did you see the game last night? Did you see Kyle Allen?
Josh Allen?
Yeah. For Josh Allen.
Yeah.
For all of Josh Allen's greatness, for as great of a player as he is, when he does things like that, it costs them. And they didn't have Aaron, like, leading them downfield and all this kind of stuff. They lost to, what, Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
Aaron only played four plays. I guess he gets credit for the win because he started. But still, you can't turn the football over as a quarterback. And the thing that has been a bugaboo for the Bills over the last couple of years and why they've struggled at times is because their quarterback turns the football over. Why do you think we struggled last year? Because our quarterback was turning the football over everywhere. If your quarterback doesn't make turnovers, and obviously that was a big factor in the game on Sunday. Our quarterback didn't create any turnovers or force any turnovers. Their quarterback forced multiple turnovers. And when you do that, it's tough to win in that league, tough to win in the NFL with all of that. So again, you know, Desmond Ridder doesn't have to be great. Right, Peter King brought this up. You know, if Desmond Ridder is a B-minus quarterback, Falcons will win a lot of games. Did he have a B-minus performance in that game on Sunday? I would say it was probably C-plus. C-plus, maybe B-minus, but I would say C-plus. What would you say, Dave?
I'd probably say just a flat B. Mainly because of the fact that a lot of to what you talked about earlier, you know, Coach Smith had to change his game plan because of the fact that the line couldn't pass block.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't even, you know, to your point, like so many people were complaining about Ridder's play, but it's like you got to give him the benefit of the doubt for the fact that the line was not blocking well enough for him to do anything in that area of the game.
Right. And look, they were never going to throw it. Look, Bryce Young, I'll put it like this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Carolina's not going to win any football games if Bryce Young has to throw it 38 times.
No. Nope.
If Bryce Young has to go out every week and throw it 38 times, they're not going to win football games. They're not going to win anything.
Nope.
Zero. Zilch, nada. They're not going to win football games throwing it 38 times with a rookie quarterback who's making his way in the league. It's the same thing with Desmond Ridder. You're not going to win if you have to throw it 38 times with this team.
Mm-mm.
You get completely out of your rhythm. Again, the only way they throw it 38 times is if they're down 21-0 in the first quarter.
And they're trying to play catch-up.
Right.
Yeah.
And things just collapse on them. And even then, they might not do it early in the game. So, I don't expect Desmond Ridder. Look, going into this game, this is about control the line of scrimmage. You know, don't let the Packers offense get on the field and get cranked up and going. Control the line of scrimmage. Run the football. I think Desmond Ridder will have about 20, 22 passes in this game coming up on Sunday. I think he'll throw a few more times on Sunday than he did this past week.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as he doesn't turn the football over. I think that's the thing about it is, even when he was getting sacked and all this, and look, did he fumble the ball to the ground? Absolutely. But it didn't end up in a turnover.
Right.
Didn't end up in a turnover. He did put the ball on the turf. Bijan put the ball on the turf,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But it didn't result in turnovers. And if you can keep possession and you just keep working it and working it and working it. And again, as we've talked about for 4 months now, we literally have spent all summer long saying, be great in the red zone. Be great in the red. You know what we need, Day-Day?
What's that?
You know how Grant McCulley on Twitter has those graphics that he puts up? He's got the tracker.
Right.
He's
got
the Ronald Acuna Jr. tracker.
Yeah.
And he's got the Matt Olson tracker. Mm-hmm. We need a red zone touchdown efficiency tracker. I don't even know. I couldn't even begin to tell you how to do something like that.
I have to do some research on that one. I have to do some homework.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to tell you how that all comes together. Grant's a lot smarter than I am. But we've got to get some kind of tracker about our red zone efficiency because that's the stat. Be great in the red zone and it changes up the dynamic of the game. When that game got to two touchdowns, it completely flipped. Completely flipped. Now your defense could get aggressive, and they could go after the quarterback and not feel like that you're on pins and needles. Because for the first part of that game,
he had all kinds of time in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had all kinds of time, and our quarterback didn't.
Mm-hmm.
First half of that game, I mean, the line of scrimmage was completely won by the Carolina Panthers.
Sure
I mean,
was.
They completely won the line of scrimmage. Their defensive line ate up our offensive line.
Yep.
And our defensive line couldn't do anything again. And by the way, they came in with all types of on their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the questions about how good they would be.
Yep. Yep.
But when you get that score and you can force them into being out of their comfort zone and getting away from what they do and now being one-dimensional, it changed. But you'd still like to have that fire breather early on in the game. You'd still like to have Myles Garrett. You'd still like to have Micah Parsons, right? Just beating guys on the line of scrimmage. All right, when we get back, Chris Willis is going to join us, talk some Braves baseball. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening as well. The Braves have their magic number for the division whittled down to 4. Obviously, we know they're already in the playoffs, but magic number at 4 after last night's split of the doubleheader with the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Chris Willis. He, of course, covers the Atlanta Braves for SB Nation, managing editor for BatteryPower.com. You can follow Chris on his personal Twitter page, @Chris_Willis. Chris, as always, buddy, thanks for a few minutes on the show this evening.
Yeah, it's fun to talk to you. I appreciate you having me.
You know, obviously, we're down to the magic number of 4. There are 18 games left. We know that the Braves are in the playoffs. How do you kind of think they handle their pitching staff or their positional players? We know that these guys want to play all the time, but do you think that they start to slow some things? Because, again, this is going to happen pretty quickly with the magic number at 4, but there is a decent amount of games left. How do you think they approach, you know, once they get that magic number clinched, how do you think they approach pitching staff, positional players?
Well, the pitching staff, I think they just try to continue to work guys in to give them an extra day of rest. You know, we saw that this past weekend. We really saw it just about the whole month, honestly. But, you know, just to do that, I mean, Brian Snicker talked about that a little bit the other day and, you know, basically said, you know, they try to keep giving guys extra days. But, you know, obviously some of them are going to have to go on regular rest. But, you know, I won't be shocked at all to see them, you know, to try to give, you know, an extra day here or there to, you know, the guy, especially if one of them feels like they need it. The position players, I mean, he did say that he wanted to get everybody a day off, maybe once they got, you know, once his thing's clinched. But, you know, I don't know how much of that will be. I think it's a very, you know, there's a fine line between too much rest and not enough. And, you know, they are going to get the extra days off being the number one seed. So, you know, maybe he works a few guys in and, you know, gives them an extra day. But I think for the most part, though, you're going to see basically the same guys in there from a position player standpoint.
You know, Chris, do you think that the MVP race is just all about Mookie Betts versus Ronald Acuna? And I guess the question I'm going to ask you is, in as a kind of a second part is, you know, we've heard a lot about that maybe Betts and Freddie Freeman split their vote. But do you think that there's any concern about Ronnie and Matt Olson splitting the vote? Because I think Matt Olson has moved himself up into either that fourth or fifth spot as far as the MVP goes.
Yeah, if you'd asked the question last, I wasn't really worried. But let's be honest, I've had probably the quietest 50 home run season ever, you know, from a national media standpoint. So I think I still feel pretty good about Ronald's there. But I think that's serving it. You know, I guess the pilot, Olson, third on, sorry, fourth.
Hey, Chris, do me a favor. Your phone has been – so since the start of your answer, your phone was completely – cutting out on me. It was,
okay.
It was kind of so start your answer again and give me your whole answer.
Okay. All right. If you'd asked me that question last week, you know, I probably would have said no, but you know, with the way that the tear that Matt Olson's been on of late, you know, I feel like, you know, he's getting into the you know, getting into the mix. But I'll be honest, you know, he's kind of had the quietest 50 home run season ever from a media standpoint. I don't know if that's just a result of being in a Braves lineup that's just, you know, everybody hits homers and Ronald Acuna's having a season, you know, for the ages. But, I mean, I think if I had a vote, you know, Matt Olson, he'd probably be third on my list.
You know, if you look at this year, and I've been kind of vocal about this on my podcast, you know, there have been amazing, you know, numbers and historic moments. And again, Matt Olson going to set the single season record. They have a shot to set the home run record and the run scored record. Ronnie the MVP. But, you know, this can't be like what 2003 was, when that was before this year, the best lineup in Braves history, the most prolific offense in Braves history. They were a 100-win team and all this, that, and the other. And all I remember about that season is Leo Mazzoni after it was all said and done, saying, well, anything can happen in a short series. You can't have that this year. And, you know, how much pressure is it just, look, for all of the accomplishments, if the playoff failure happens in this thing, it's going to be devastating because, again, I think they're the best team in baseball, best team in the National League. Again, you're not necessarily going to slug your way through it, but this has to be at least in the World Series, does it not? Or all of those accomplishments don't really amount to much of anything.
I agree. And, I mean, it's a different look for this team because, you know, 2021, you know, they were firmly the underdog. I mean, you know, they were lucky to be there. And then even last year, you know, they won 101 games and run Mets down. But I think everybody kind of expected the Dodgers, you know, to come out of the National League. So it wasn't like the Braves went in there as the, you know, as the favorite. But, you know, they've pretty much been the best team in baseball, you know, for I'd say at least half of this season. You know, Tampa Bay probably had a little bit of a claim to that to start with. So I think you're right. I mean, it's one of those things. I think there's going to be a little bit of pressure just because it's going to be different this time. And, you know, I mean, anything can happen. That's where the playoff format kind of works against you. They expanded since they've expanded it because anything can happen in a short series, a five-game series. But, you know, when we look back on the legacy of this season, you're right. I think, you know, what people are going to remember is what happens in October.
Chris Willis, managing editor for BatteryPowered.com, talking some Braves baseball with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So if you could set your rotation up for a playoff series any way that you wanted, how would you set your rotation?
I'd probably go Fried, Strider, and then Charlie Morton. You know, I think Kyle Wright could get into that mix, but I don't really see him much as a possibility for the first round, the division series. You know, maybe he figures in the NLCS. I would carry Elder, and you know, but I would probably put him in the bullpen as a situation where if I need to pull a starter early, you know, Elder's a guy that could go in there and give you three or four innings. The way the schedule's worked out for the first round. So, but yeah, I think I'd go Fried, Strider, and Morton.
Do you think that obviously if they advance and get into a seven-game series, you know, again, you're looking at Fried, Morton, and Strider. But what happens with that four? I mean, is it all dependent upon whether or not Kyle Wright can come back, or do you use Bryce Elder in a starting role when you get into a seven-game series? How do you think you handle that?
Well, I think, you know, we just got to see how Kyle Wright's going. You know, what I kind of expect to happen, well, you know, things got fast-tracked a little bit since he's already back on the active roster. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my assumption was that he would probably not be on the division series roster and then probably keep pitching at Gwinnett, you know, at the alternate site, keep working out sim games there like they've done the last couple of years, you know, to be as a possibility to be there for the LCS. Now, you know, he may be in the mix now since he's already, you know, he's already been activated. He's already seeing some game action. But I think Bryce Elder's probably got a little bit of a leg up to start with. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, you see him and Wright, and you're doing a little piggyback situation there. You know, but they won't need four starter until they get to the LCS, like you said, with a seven-game series.
If you had to pick a player that's had the most surprising season for the Braves, which Braves player would you say has had the most surprising season this year?
I think it's Orlando Arcia still, just because – you know, he's come in and just exceeded all of my expectations. And I think, yeah, I thought Brian Snicker kind of said that on the last homestand, too, just with the big hits that he's come up with and how he's solidified the shortstop position. But, you know, if you had told me before the season that he was going to be this good, this far above league average, a career high home runs, you know, I just couldn't have seen it. And, you know, that shortstop position was a huge question mark coming out of spring training. And once he got out there and got to playing, you know, it just kind of faded into the background because, you know, he did the job.
You know, Chris, I know you and I have talked a little bit about this, but, you know, it was about a week or so ago that Michael Harris had played the same number of games that he did in his rookie year. And if you look at his numbers year over year in the same amount of games, I mean, there was literally only, I think it was two or three plate appearances difference in the 114 games that he played last year and this year. But the thing that stood out to me is batting average very similar. Yeah, the home runs are a little bit down, but again, it's not really that much. But he was a little bit better in his walks, but drastically better, about 25% less strikeouts. And I think that's a real accomplishment. You know, again, we talk about the struggles that he had early on, but, you know, as the season has moved along, and now the power all of a sudden is starting to come, you know, around a little bit more. But you really do see some of his growth as a hitter where, look, again, if you can cut down 25% from the number of strikeouts you had year over year in today's baseball, that's a monumental feat just in itself.
Yeah, that's huge. And I've liked how he's really looked against left-handers. I think that he's shown a tremendous amount of growth there. You know, I don't know how many times you've seen him facing a tough lefty this year, and he's just serving the ball to, you know, to the opposite field, you know, and coming up with big hits. But I mean, he's been tremendous too. And it just, you know, when you've got a lineup that's this deep with two guys putting together historical seasons, a lot of guys just kind of get lost in the shuffle. I think, you know, that's true for Austin Riley. I think it's true for Michael Harris too. And but you're right. I mean, you had reason to worry a little bit early in the season. He came back from that injury and he was hitting 160. But really, since he got in the lineup and got healthy, man, he's just been as good as advertised. And you know, I think it's you know, I feel like the sky's the limit for him, because I feel like he could probably go, you know, to another level with the way he's shown improvements at the plate.
Last question for you, Chris. I mean, we talk about MVP award. I mean, I think Strider's going to finish in the top three of Cy Young. I think if he'd have led the league in wins and gotten about 20 wins and 300 strikeouts, I don't know how you could have voted against him. But I think at this point, you know, he's going to finish somewhere in the top three, four. But I will ask you, I think Michael Harris and Ronald Acuna both are certainly leaders or right there near the top of winning a gold glove this year. I think Ronnie's going to end up with his first gold glove when all is said and done. And Michael Harris has obviously been, you know, a guy that was in the mix, you know, for it last year. But you think maybe those two guys win gold gloves in the National League outfield?
I think Michael Harris is a no-brainer, and I thought he should have probably won it last year. I think there was some technicality as when he came up or something to where he wasn't able to finish at the top of that list last year. But you know, Ronald's going to be interesting because he's got the big arm. He's called a lot. You know, he's made some unbelievable plays out there. But you know, the defensive metrics don't rate him very highly. So it's going to be kind of an old school, new school type of voting there, which honestly in the gold glove, you know, a lot of times it is the old school way, the eye test and stuff. And I think he passes the eye test for me most nights. That arm is as good as anybody's out there. And it's not only strong, it's accurate. And, you know, he just changes, like you see teams not tagging on him and not going first to third on him because they can't chance it, you know, with him out there. So, you know, you look at this outfield, and I mean, you're talking about two very high level players out there defensively.
Yeah, and I will also add to it. Gold Glove is a lot about reputation. It's been a lot of reputation based award. Whether guys deserved it or not, a lot of times it's been about, you know, what have you done and what have you accomplished, you know, in the league, and have you won it before? So we'll see. I think there's going to be some very interesting voting for the Atlanta Braves. Check him out on his personal Twitter page @Chris_Willis. He is the managing editor for batterypower.com, covers the Atlanta Braves for SB Nation, and joined me here on the waitfor.com hotline. Chris, is always my man. Appreciate a few minutes on the show. We will certainly chat again here soon.
All right, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reshow, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get to a What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. Day-Day, do you know what today is, the first day in 41 years?
No.
It's been 41 years since Vince McMahon was not the principal owner.
Oh yeah, of today the WWE. Everything. Yeah, that went down today.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the merger.
Yep.
What is it?
TG was it?
Whatever. Whoever owns the UFC and all that good kind of stuff. So the merger officially went down today. Now Vince is obviously still the head of WWE on that side of everything. But this is the first time in 41 years that he has not been the majority owner. And by the way, I think he's got it's either 16 or 19% that he owns right now. Can't remember what the actual number is, but I think it's 16 or 19% that he owns. But it's the first time in 41 years that Vince McMahon is not the principal owner of the WWE.
Yeah, I saw that picture. I don't know. Did you see the picture? It was him, Bianca, Triple H. They were all at the
Stock Exchange today, at the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah. So,
just crazy. I mean, just crazy to think about. Because, again, for my entire life, he's been the only owner that I've known. Now, I was a kid when
his dad was still.
Right. When it was still the WWWF.
Right.
And Vince Sr. was still in charge. Because I remember Bob Backlund. I remember all that before Hulkamania came along. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Vince took it over. And there's a lot of, I'll just say, there's a lot of shadiness as to how Vince became the owner of the WWWF and all that, and did he really pay the money back? And there's some things about all of that, but again, that's in the past. But still, though, it's the first time in 41 years that he has not been the owner of it, and it's weird to think about. I mean, you know, that obviously, look, he's still going to be in charge, and he's still going to be, you know, overseeing everything. But the fact that he doesn't own, and I've said this for years. I thought he would sell the WWE. I mean, at some point, he would sell. Now, maybe some of that was spurred on by the allegations of sexual assault and different things like that, and you know, the hush money that was paid, and all these other different kinds of things. Maybe that spurred it on. But I did think over the last couple few years that the money would be too great for him to not sell. And again, he's in his mid 70s now. I think is what it is. I think he's in his mid 70s, and his wife is nowhere to be found, right? I mean, yes, he's married, but it's not like he's retiring to spend time with his wife and kids.
Yeah,
his kids are all grown, and his wife's down in Florida.
Yeah,
and doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, I'm about to say technically they've kind of went their own ways.
Yes,
to speak,
they live their own lives.
Yeah,
as they
say.
Yeah,
quite
know.
About what almost probably what 15 years ago now maybe. 10?
I don't know if it's that. Yeah, I don't know if it's been that long, but
it feels like it though.
It's been a while that you know she's been you know down in Florida and he's been up here in New York, and they just kind of live their separate lives and all that good kind of stuff. And obviously the kids are all grown. I mean, Shane's not really part of – yes, he came back for WrestleMania and tore his quad or whatever.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But he's really not part of the company. Like, he doesn't have any say in the company whatsoever. He's actually started his own couple of businesses. Stephanie is obviously retired or so, they say. I mean, I don't know what her role is, probably backstage, but She's not out front anymore. She's not, because she was truthfully the brand ambassador for WWE for a long time.
Right.
Like, she was the face of the corporate end of the business and things like that. Really, the only guy is Triple H. I mean, he's the guy that's really, you know, the face of the organization and this, that, and the other. Vince is not part of it, you know, anymore. So, but it's crazy to think that it's been 41 years that Vince McMahon has had ownership of it. And look, say what you will, there's a lot of, when it comes to the wrestling side of things, there's a lot of good things and a lot of bad things that Vince did. I mean, Vince did help kill the territory system. He did take the business national. He did raid, especially the AWA, he did raid all of the talent. I mean, he did raid all the talent because he was paying those guys, you know, while it wasn't a guaranteed money, their business was so good that everybody was making money. So, again, he was able to kind of raid Mid-South and AWA. I mean, that's where he got Hogan and Ted DiBiase and Jim Duggan and, you know, all these guys to come in, you know, and be a part of his organization, you know. So there's good, there's bad, you know, and everything a little bit in between. Look, I still say in my lifetime, I don't have bad things to say about Vince McMahon. He provided me with some of the greatest entertainment in the history of my life, like some of my favorite memories, yeah. and all of the entertainment and all of the things that I love about wrestling. He's been a huge part of that, you know, starting with Hulkamania and running all the way through. And I grew up in the Northeast, so, again, that was what I was watching. Right. You know, I would watch, you know, 605 on Saturday night, WTBS and all that, when we got cable, when we finally got cable and all that. But before then, it was, you know, it was the Northeast. It was broadcasting of the WWWF, you know, Snuka and Bob Backlund and Don Morocco, and who, by the way, celebrated a birthday the other day. But again, it was those guys. Before it was Iron Sheik. Then, you know, it was before there was a Hulkamania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Hogan did Rocky III, he was still in the AWA.
Right.
So yeah. He wasn't a WWF. He wasn't Hulk Hogan, the WWF.
Nope.
When he came over, when he was doing Rocky III, he was still in the AWA.
Mm-hmm.
Vern had to let him go. I mean, Vern had to give him the approval and all that kind of stuff, and that was sort of a fight he didn't really understand. Vince did. And it's fascinating to think that if Hogan hadn't come on board with Vince, what would the plan have been?
Right.
Probably would have been Dusty Rhodes. I mean, the plan was always that the thought process was that Dusty Rhodes would have been the guy that Vince would have hitched his wagon to if Hulk Hogan didn't come over and didn't create all of the Hulkamania. It would have been Dusty Rhodes. He would have. And Dusty Rhodes spent a little time in the WWWF in the late 70s, early 80s or whatever. But they probably would have hitched their wagon to Dusty Rhodes. Think about how the world would have changed differently.
Yeah. If they had got early Dusty. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but if you don't have Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Because, I mean, they built the national brand
off of
the appeal of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because the cartoons ended up coming
out. Absolutely.
And all kinds of stuff.
The rock and wrestling connection, you know, that was huge. In the early days of MTV, that was another thing that had to happen. So, again, the world would be so much different. And, you know, Vince would probably not have been as national with Hulk Hogan. Look, Vince was going to go national no matter what. He was going to make a national wrestling promotion. But would it have had the success that where the WWE is today on that kind of success? You know, again, there's so many things that, you know, would have been different if the Iron Sheik would have taken up the offer from Vern Gagne and broken Hulk Hogan's leg like Vern Gagne wanted, maybe things would have been different in the entire world of wrestling. You know, so again, we'll never know. All right, let me get very quickly to a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Steve Smith is still being a dope. He had talked about the Falcons don't have a quarterback and all this, that, and the other, right? We heard that a few months ago, right? Oh, Falcons don't have a quarterback. He was on a podcast or whatever it was, okay? Steve Smith tweeted out on Sunday evening. Now, by the way, it's at 9:43 Sunday night. The game's what? 4 hours over with or whatever? Okay. So here's what he tweeted. Hold on. Don't troll a check your quarterback can't cash. And then he put up the box scores of the two quarterbacks, right? So he put up the box score of Desmond Ridder. 15 for 18 for 115 yards, okay? And then he put up Bryce Young's 20 for 38 for 146. Now, conveniently, he left out the touchdowns and interceptions. And he left out who won the game. All he had was the stats. 15 of 18, 115. And then he had 20 of 38 for 146. So I don't know what he was trying to prove in that, but the dumb tweet of the year award goes to Steve Smith. Yes, Bryce Young threw for 130 more yards than Desmond Ridder did on 20 more pass attempts. 30 yards on 20 additional attempts. And he threw two picks in the game. He had two picks in the game. And they lost. So what exactly is Steve Smith's point? Again, Desmond Ridder finished with the second highest quarterback rating in the NFL this weekend. He was efficient. He did what he had to do. He won the football game and didn't turn the football over. Everything that Bryce Young didn't do. So what exactly was Steve Smith's point in this whole discussion? What was the whole discussion about? The Falcons don't have a quarterback? Okay. Did they win? Was he efficient? Did he turn the football over? Were they 3 for 3 in the red zone? Checkmate, 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 checkmate. So Steve Smith is still a dope. Because again, I don't know what exactly he was trying to prove. His tweet doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is. And by the way, the other dope was, who's the play-by-play guy? Andrew Colton or Carrollton or something like that?
The one with Matt Ryan?
Yeah, yeah. Who, again, he was, the Minnesota Vikings should be up 28-3 instead of tied 10-10. What a dope. Now everybody's saying, oh, well, Matt Ryan fed him that line. No, he didn't. He didn't feed him that line. He's a dope. Two dopes. Two dippity dopes over the weekend. Andrew, whatever his name is, Cottonmouth, whatever his name is, coming out of halftime with Matt Ryan and Steve Smith. Two dopes who should be, they should have their heads knocked together like the Three Stooges in all of it. But I really don't know what Steve Smith's point was in all of that. I'll take 15 of 18 for 115 yards in a win with no turnovers and 3 for 3 in the red zone every week of the year. Every week of the year, I'll take that. If we're 100% red zone touchdown efficiency and he's about an 80% completion percent, I'll take that every single week out of Desmond Ridder. And he doesn't turn the football over. Every single solitary week, I'll take that out of Desmond Ridder. So let me ask Steve Smith, tell me you don't understand things about the NFL without telling me you don't understand things about the NFL. Because, again, it's convenient how he left off the important stats, the turnovers, the loss, you know, all that kind of stuff. Funny how he didn't have that. Funny how he just had attempts and yards. And, by the way, that doesn't even still make it look good. Guy was only 20 for 38 for 146 yards. He needed 20 more passes to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Get to a What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. Day-Day, do you know what today is the first day in 41 years?
No.
It's been 41 years since Vince McMahon was not the principal owner.
Oh, yeah, of today, the WWE. Everything. Yeah, that went down today.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the merger. What is it?
TG, was it?
Whatever. Whoever owns the UFC and all that good kind of stuff. So the merger officially went down today. Now, Vince is obviously still the head of WWE on that side of everything. But this is the first time in 41 years that he has not been the majority owner. And by the way, I think he's got it's either 16 or 19% that he owns right now. Can't remember what the actual number is, but I think it's 16 or 19% that he owns. But it's the first time in 41 years that Vince McMahon is not the principal owner of the WWE.
Yeah, I saw that picture. I don't know. Did you see the picture? It was him, Bianca,
Triple
H. They were all at
the
thing.
Stock exchange today. Yeah. At the New York Stock Exchange.
So
just crazy. I mean, just crazy to think about. Because, again, for my entire life, he's been the only owner that I've known. Now, I was a kid when
his dad was still.
Right. When it was still the WWWF.
Right.
And Vince Sr. was still in charge. Because I remember Bob Backlund. I remember all that before Hulkamania came along. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Vince took it over. And there's a lot of, I'll just say, there's a lot of shadiness as to how Vince became the owner of the WWWF and all that, and did he really pay the money back? And there's some things about all of that, but again, that's in the past. But still, though, it's the first time in 41 years that he has not been the owner of it, and it's weird to think about. I mean, you know, that obviously, look, he's still going to be in charge and he's still going to be, you know, overseeing everything. But the fact that he doesn't own, and I've said this for years. I thought he would sell the WWE. I mean, at some point he would sell. Now, maybe some of that was spurred on by the allegations of sexual assault and different things like that. And, you know, the hush money that was paid and all these other different kinds of things. Maybe that spurred it on. But I did think over the last couple few years that the money would be too great for him to not sell. And again, he's in his mid-70s now, I think is right. What it is. I think he's in his mid-70s. And his wife is nowhere to be found, right? I mean, yes, he's married, but it's not like he's retiring to spend time with his wife and kids.
Yeah,
his kids are all grown, and his wife's down in Florida.
Yeah,
and doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, I'm about to say technically they've kind of went their own ways.
Yes,
so
yes.
To speak,
they live their own lives.
Yeah,
as they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, quite know. About what almost probably what 15 years ago now maybe. 10?
I don't know if it's that. Yeah, I don't know if it's been that long, but
it feels like it though.
It's been a while that you know she's been you know down in Florida and he's been up here in New York, and they just kind of live their separate lives and all that good kind of stuff. And obviously the kids are all grown. I mean, Shane's not really part of – yes, he came back for WrestleMania and tore his quad or whatever.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But he's really not part of the company. Like, he doesn't have any say in the company whatsoever. He's actually started his own couple of businesses. Stephanie is obviously retired or so, they say. I mean, I don't know what her role is, probably backstage, but She's not out front anymore. She's not, because she was truthfully the brand ambassador for WWE for a long time.
Right.
Like, she was the face of the corporate end of the business and things like that. Really, the only guy is Triple H. I mean, he's the guy that's really, you know, the face of the organization and this, that, and the other. Vince is not part of it, you know, anymore. So, but it's crazy to think that it's been 41 years that Vince McMahon has had ownership of it. And look, say what you will, there's a lot of, when it comes to the wrestling side of things, there's a lot of good things and a lot of bad things that Vince did. I mean, Vince did help kill the territory system. He did take the business national. He did raid, especially the AWA, he did raid all of the talent. I mean, he did raid all the talent because he was paying those guys, you know, while it wasn't a guaranteed money, their business was so good that everybody was making money. So, again, he was able to kind of raid Mid-South and AWA. I mean, that's where he got Hogan and Ted DiBiase and Jim Duggan and, you know, all these guys to come in, you know, and be a part of his organization, you know. So there's good, there's bad, you know, and everything a little bit in between. Look, I still say in my lifetime, I don't have bad things to say about Vince McMahon. He provided me with some of the greatest entertainment in the history of my life, like some of my favorite memories and all of the entertainment and all of the things that I love about wrestling. He's been a huge part of that, you know, starting with Hulkamania and running all the way through. And I grew up in the Northeast, so, again, that was what I was watching. Right. You know, I would watch, you know, 6:05 on Saturday night, WTBS and all that. When we got cable, when we finally got cable and all that. But before then, it was, you know, it was the Northeast. It was broadcasting of the WWWF, you know, Snuka and Bob Backlund and Don Morocco, and who, by the way, celebrated a birthday the other day. But again, it was those guys. Before it was Iron Sheik. Then, you know, it was before there was a Hulkamania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Hogan did Rocky III, he was still in the AWA.
Right.
So he wasn't even, he wasn't a WWF, he wasn't Hulk Hogan, the WWF.
Nope.
When he came over, when he was doing Rocky III, he was still in the AWA.
Mm-hmm.
Vern had to let him go. I mean, Vern had to give him the approval and all that kind of stuff, and that was sort of a fight he didn't really understand. Vince did. And it's fascinating to think that if Hogan hadn't come on board with Vince, what would the plan have been?
Right.
Probably would have been Dusty Rhodes. I mean, the plan was always that the thought process was that Dusty Rhodes would have been the guy that Vince would have hitched his wagon to if Hulk Hogan didn't come over and didn't create all of the Hulkamania. It would have been Dusty Rhodes. He would have, and Dusty Rhodes spent a little time in the WWWF in the late 70s, I guess, early 80s or whatever. But they probably would have hitched their wagon to Dusty Rhodes. Think about how the world would have changed differently.
Yeah. If they had got early Dusty. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but if you don't have Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Because, I mean, they built the national brand
off of
on the appeal of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because the cartoons ended up coming
out. Absolutely.
And all kinds of stuff.
The rock and wrestling connection, you know, that was huge. In the early days of MTV, that was another thing that had to happen. So, again, the world would be so much different. And, you know, Vince would probably not have been as national with Hulk Hogan. Look, Vince was going to go national no matter what. He was going to make a national wrestling promotion. But would it have had the success that where the WWE is today on that kind of success? You know, again, there's so many things that, you know, would have been different let me put it like this. If the Iron Sheik would have taken up the offer from Vern Gagne and broken Hulk Hogan's leg like Vern Gagne wanted, maybe things would have been different in the entire world of wrestling. You know, so again, we'll never know. All right, let me get very quickly to a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Steve Smith is still being a dope. Again, he had talked about the Falcons don't have a quarterback and all this, that, and the other, right? We heard that a few months ago, right? Oh, Falcons don't have a quarterback. He was on a podcast or whatever it was, okay? Steve Smith tweeted out on Sunday evening. Now, by the way, it's at 9:43 Sunday night. The game's what? 4 hours over with or whatever? Okay. So here's what he tweeted. Hold on. Don't troll a check your quarterback can't cash. And then he put up the box scores of the two quarterbacks, right? So he put up the box score of Desmond Ridder. 15 for 18 for 115 yards, okay? And then he put up Bryce Young's 20 for 38 for 146. Now, conveniently, he left out the touchdowns and interceptions. And he left out who won the game. All he had was the stats. 15 of 18, 115. And then he had 20 of 38 for 146. So I don't know what he was trying to prove in that, but the dumb tweet of the year award goes to Steve Smith. Yes, Bryce Young threw for 130 more yards than Desmond Ridder did on 20 more pass attempts. 30 yards on 20 additional attempts. And he threw two picks in the game. He had two picks in the game. And they lost. So what exactly is Steve Smith's point? That, again, Desmond Ridder finished with the second highest quarterback rating in the NFL this weekend. He was efficient. He did what he had to do. He won the football game and didn't turn the football over. Everything that Bryce Young didn't do. So what exactly was Steve Smith's point in this whole discussion? What was the whole discussion about? The Falcons don't have a quarterback? Okay. Did they win? Was he efficient? Did he turn the football over? Were they 3 for 3 in the red zone? Checkmate, 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 checkmate. So Steve Smith is still a dope. Because again, I don't know what exactly he was trying to prove. His tweet doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is. And by the way, the other dope was, who's the play-by-play guy? Andrew Colton or Carrollton or something like that.
The one with Matt Ryan?
Yeah, yeah. Who, again, he was, the Minnesota Vikings should be up 28-3 instead of tied 10-10. What a dope. Now everybody's saying, oh, well, Matt Ryan fed him that line. No, he didn't. He didn't feed him that line. He's a dope. Two dopes. Two dippity dopes over the weekend. Andrew, whatever his name is, Cottonmouth, whatever his name is, coming out of halftime with Matt Ryan and Steve Smith. Two dopes who should be, they should have their heads knocked together like the Three Stooges in all of it. But I really don't know what Steve Smith's point was in all of that. I'll take 15 of 18 for 115 yards in a win with no turnovers and 3 for 3 in the red zone every week of the year. Every week of the year, I'll take that. If we're 100% red zone touchdown efficiency and he's about an 80% completion percent, I'll take that every single week out of Desmond Ridder. And he doesn't turn the football over. Every single solitary week, I'll take that out of Desmond Ridder. So let me ask Steve Smith, tell me you don't understand things about the NFL without telling me you don't understand things about the NFL. Because again, it's convenient how he left off the important stats, the turnovers, the loss, you know, all that kind of stuff. Funny how he didn't have that. Funny how he just had attempts and yards. And by the way, that doesn't even still make it look good. Guy was only 20 for 38 for 146 yards. He needed 20 more passes to complete 30 more yards of yardage. Two dopes over the weekend. And that's his Bug and Chuck here. All right, we're going to talk about the Falcons' pass blocking because should there be some concerns about that? Hanging out in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics.
They have Fair Play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatic Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatic Sportsbook app.